The Transcontinental Railroad had been talked about, promoted, encouraged, desired for 3 decades. This was true even though the railroads in their first decades of existence were rickety, ran on poorly laid tracks that gave a bone-crushing bump, bump, bump to the cars as they chugged along, and could only be stopped by a series of brakemen, one on top of each car. They had to turn a wheel connected to a device that put pressure on the wheels to slow and finally to stop. The cars were too hot in the summer, much too cold in the winter, unless one was at the end nearest the stove, which meant one was too hot. The seats were wooden benches set at 90-degree angles that pained the back, the buttocks, and the knees. There was no food until the train stopped at a station when one had 15 or fewer minutes to buy something from a vendor. The boiler in the engine was fired by wood, which led to sparks, which sometimes, often, flew back into a car and set the whole thing on fire. Bridges could catch fire and burn. Accidents were common. Sometimes they killed or wounded virtually all passengers. The locomotives put forth so much smoke that the downwind side of the tracks on the cars was less desirable, and it generally was on the poorer side of town, thus the phrase, the wrong side of the tracks. Nevertheless, people wanted a transcontinental railroad. This was because it was absolutely necessary to bind the country together. Further, it was possible, because train technology was improving daily. The locomotives were getting faster, safer, more powerful, as the cars became more comfortable. More than the steamboat, more than anything else, the railroads were the harbinger of the future, and the future was the Industrial Revolution.